Right, good morning to you. 0289033105. Fionnuala Meredith is on the line. Fionnuala, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
You've more degrees, apparently, than Man City have trophies, I was told. But
I am reasonably well qualified.
Yeah, apparently you are. But because Vivian Stern, who's the head of Universities UK, is warning that higher education is facing a funding crisis, and to go to university in England in the foreseeable future, it could be beyond most people, the price being prohibitive, and we may see that come to fruition in Northern Ireland as well, an even greater increase in fees. So how many degrees does Dr. Meredith have?
Three. I spent about almost 10 years as a student, actually, all at Queen's, in English and philosophy. I have my undergraduate degree, my master's degree, and my PhD.
Dear, oh dear. Yeah. So, you know, I feel so ignorant. I do. I feel like as if I am just a lad looking into the window wanting to make a purchase. Tell me this. Did you come across the article at all where I described your presence as jaw-dropping?
I did, and thank you very much for saying so.
Yeah, people remarked on that. They thought that was very appropriate. They thought it was an appropriate way to assess you.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly what you mean, but maybe it's better that way.
Well, but whenever you say, not in this conversation, but in other conversations, you say things that make me go, oh, my word, did she really say that? You know, far be it from me to pass a jaw-dropping comment about a leading feminist. I'm not going down that road. But I do want to know how you behaved at university. Were you the sort of person who studied all the time, or did you have a massive social life? Because apparently the lack of social life is taking youngsters away from university today.
I feel sorry for students, actually, today. I don't think they are having the same experience that students maybe 10 or 20 years ago did. I mean, partly it's the pandemic years. That was very hard for them because, you know, just everything went online. And I know there were attempts made to say this is fine to learn like this, you know, this is a good way to learn. No, I don't think it is. I think that you have to be there in person to have the full experience. And the social side is part of that. It opens up your mind and the whole university experience in all sorts of ways. But you have to be there in person to actually do that. When I was at university, I wasn't going out going mad because I had children. I had my son in my second year of my undergraduate degree, and I had my daughter in the first year of the PhD. And, I mean, that kind of worked for me because I was able to... I don't think I would actually have done any of that or got, you know, any of those qualifications, certainly not all three, if I hadn't had children, because I had so little time to work on my studies, I really focused on it when I got the chance. So I think it made me focus in and concentrate more. So I don't think my experience would have been really representative.
Yeah, you may not have been old, but you sound like a mature student approach. When I was going through, I met a lot of students who were much, much older than me, who were going home to, you know, feed the children after they'd been to university when the rest of us were going out for a real night's crack. What about the actual degree today? Is it fair to say that the vast majority of employers just expect you to have a degree?
I think that's probably true, that it has become the sort of standard expectation. And I don't think that's a good thing because I think, you know, young people should think before they go to university, is that really what I want to do? Is that right for me? Is that going to serve me? Is that going to get me where I want to go? Because I think there's kids, and I was going to say particularly middle-class kids, that just the social expectation in the family is, well, you go to university. And it may not be right for them. And yet there'll be children maybe from less well-off backgrounds for whom it would definitely be right, but aren't in a position to get there. So I think there's a difficulty there. I think there's also a difficulty that some young people would be much more suited to apprenticeships. And I really wish that was, you know, more of an option for them than it actually is, rather than just going the route of like, oh, well, you know, you leave school, you go to university. I think a more nuanced approach would be really beneficial, but it seems we're just in this expectation that that's what, you know, a lot of young people will do.
Yeah, and there's also I'm hesitating before I say this, but there's a certain suggestion that if there are too many holders of degrees, the value of a degree gets diluted. And, you know, if someone's got a degree in the history of Only Fools and Horses versus someone who's got a degree in medicine, you know, it's a vast, vast difference, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the other thing that people have found is that if they get, I hesitate to call them Mickey Mouse degrees because it's so patronising, but if they go and get one of these degrees that is perhaps less, how can I put it, less mainstream, and, you know, that is very sort of particular like that, then they can find it doesn't help them get a job. So they've spent all this money, or their parents have, on getting a degree that actually isn't particularly useful to them. Not that that is the only value of a degree, absolutely not. I don't want to say it purely in sort of monetary terms. In many ways, going to university is it's an exercise in sort of personal expansion and growing up and hopefully becoming a more rounded person. But obviously, you know, we all need jobs, we all need to pay the bills, and people who do these very niche degrees often find out, well, I'm not going to get a job at the end of this, you know, because it's just not the kind of degree that's going to get me anywhere.
Yeah, the people who really seem to be booming are those who turn their hands to trades and are employed as plumbers and electricians and carrying out work on major projects, and you can't get them for love nor money because they're so skilled. Maybe that is the way to go, but it's not, of course, for everyone. You do mention the apprenticeships, and they come in many forms, of course. I want to speak to an expert in the field, and it's Richard Kirk from Work Plus. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Just remind us how the apprenticeship alternative to university or complemented by university works.
Well, the great news is that university and apprenticeships can go hand in hand. And it was great to hear Fionnuala mention that apprenticeships can be a great way for people to make that first step, either into a first-time career as a school leaver, or to make a step into a new career as a career changer. Apprenticeships can be a great way to do that. So apprenticeships are often thought of as for the traditional trades areas, as you've mentioned, Frank, plumbing, carpentry, hair and beauty, motor vehicle, etc. But the reality is that there are almost 200 different types of apprenticeship now available. And there are apprenticeships for folks who don't have any qualifications, but there are also apprenticeships for those who have done very well in A-levels or BTEC qualifications and want to go into those degree apprenticeship areas like computer science, finance. There's even a legal apprenticeship which is being developed this year as well. So the variety of opportunities now is absolutely fantastic, and it's proving to be a really exciting way for people to either take a first step into a career or, as I've mentioned already, to change a career. If you're currently working in a job that you're not enjoying and you hear about the growth of certain sectors, what's the news? The news is that there are apprenticeships now in those growing sectors. The challenge remains, though, that because an apprenticeship is a job from day one, there's a salary, your student fees are paid for you, and the challenge is getting more employers to catch the vision for apprenticeships. Only about 8% of employers in Northern Ireland currently hire apprentices, and that puts a restriction on the number of opportunities created for our young people and career changers. For example, in our campaign we ran earlier this year, we have over 10 times the number of applicants for each of the opportunities available. So it's proven to be a really interesting and exciting and attractive offer for someone wanting to become an apprentice. But the difficulty is that we need more employers than the 8% that are currently embracing apprenticeships to buy into it.
And is all of that partly down to young people feeling that university in the traditional way in some areas is a bit old hat?
Well, there are many brilliant aspects to a university education. Fionnuala picked up on some of those. It's not just about the learning, the modules, the lecturing. It's also about who you become as a person through those 3 or 4 years. But what we're finding is that those that choose a degree apprenticeship are getting the best of both worlds. We were talking to a couple of them this morning, twin sisters actually. One is doing civil engineering degree apprenticeship and the other is doing software engineering. And they're having the time of their lives. They're working in real projects with real people at the age of 18. and they're making a real difference in the lives of other people. And I think for them, that's the big draw. Yes, they're being paid a brilliant salary already, even at the their late teens. But it's really that university experience is enhanced by being an apprentice. Now, there will be obviously a role for universities for full-time courses in areas that don't have apprenticeships, like music or history, social sciences, etc. But for those jobs that are vocational, engineering, even medicine, the law, human resources, all those areas, they could be apprenticeships. And it's great to see that there have been lots developed, but we need more apprenticeship pathways to suit our young people and career changers.
Because you're suggesting there that the vast majority of the applicants don't get on.
Unfortunately, they don't, Frank. It comes down to that the employers haven't yet got themselves into a mindset of apprenticeship is for us. And for many of them that we talk to, that we're helping encourage them to navigate the apprenticeship space, to understand what apprenticeships can do, they're still thinking in terms of the traditional areas. But as I mentioned already, there are almost 200 different pathways available. So if you are a manufacturing business, it's not just manufacturing apprenticeships. It's also admin, sales, marketing, HR, finance, IT. All those different areas of your business could be supported by apprentices. And what we're finding is that in the traditional model of someone going to university or college and then starting a job, the loss that businesses have in terms of those people, only 65% of them are staying on after 3 years, whereas with apprenticeships, it's much closer to 95%. So there's a real sense that the business is really getting connected to the apprentice, and the apprentice knows the culture, wants to stay much longer than a graduate might if they come in and as a graduate, and then they're more likely to want to move on quickly. So we're trying to help businesses to think about all those different aspects and really embrace apprenticeships to create more opportunities for our people.
Okay, interesting. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Richard Kirk, who is with Work Plus, and Fionnuala Meredith, who is with us on the programme and is, I think, the best qualified of all our contributors, with the possible exception of Dr. Malachy O'Doherty. I must check his credentials
No, I'm ahead of Malachy. No, I'm ahead. Tell him I'm ahead of him. I have more.
you've sat across a bar and discussed this with him, have you?
No, but I happen to know that I'm ahead on that score.
All right. I'm going to check how many qualifications Kim Kelly has next to see how you rate. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fionnuala Meredith. I wonder who else do we have on here that would be incredibly well educated? Professor John Tong's an example. Jamie DeLargy is an example. Logie, you know, you'd be surprised how many qualifications Logie has. He's got a degree in comedy.